It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's a Monday. You know what that means? We talk some college football with Harold Grader, Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl on X at Harold Grader. Harold, you had the double dip this weekend. You're in Memphis. You're in Tuscaloosa. I'm going to ask you here in a second after you sort of introduce yourself on the show how many miles are on your car at this point. But how's it going?
Doing great. What a fun weekend. Started Saturday at the Tiger game. Finished in Tuscaloosa. Lost count of how many miles are on the car, but it was a fun weekend, and getting caught up last night on some of the other games that I didn't have the ability to watch because I was at two other games. But it was fun. Tiger game, good win. It was fun to see guys back from the 1993 team.
Yep.
Of course, that was back in my Channel 5 days, covered that team. It was good to see some of those guys, and fun to recall, and saw Isaac for a few minutes, Isaac Bruce, and just everybody on the team. That was a fun team to cover, and it was great to see those guys again, and glad to see the university doing things like that to bring former players back to, not campus, but at least back to a game.
Right.
And that was fun.
I had to go get a picture. I told Isaac, I said, well, we have to get a picture. My dad was in town, actually, this weekend, and growing up, we went to just every home game. Every home game. I remember calling out Bruce every time he caught a ball. I mean, it was phenomenal to see that.
That was fun.
John Morant in the stands as well. Then you went to Tuscaloosa, and that was probably the closest 42-16 game I've ever seen in my life.
Let me tell you, Gabe, the final score did not have any reflection on the way the football game was.
Right.
Because it was nip and tuck until the fourth quarter. Finally, Alabama figured it out, but a lot of penalties, obviously issues on the offensive line. They've got work to do, but again, it's one of those things that you'd rather be the coach coming off a win and being able to chew some tail and educate and learn than coming off a loss. But let me look down the road for the Tigers to jump back to that side of the conversation. South Florida's pretty good football team.
Yeah.
Quarterback. Really good. They were giving Alabama
14-13 going into the fourth quarter.
They were giving Alabama everything they wanted. So the Tigers have to go down there here in about a month, I think it is. So
that's just, I'm telling
circle
you,
that one. It's not a gimme going
on the road
to South Florida.
I said from the beginning of the season. I said from the beginning of the season. Sure, there's teams in conference that have easy schedules. I think UTSA fits that billing. Tulane, for the most part, relatively easy schedule. They're coming off a loss against Kansas State by 7 at home, and they stuck in there. But I think South Florida, when we talk about rosters and like scary rosters, that's the scariest team to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll be top two in the conference by the end of the year, just because their schedule's a little tougher as well right there with the Tigers. But 28 points in the fourth quarter, that got out of hand quickly, but until the fourth quarter, it was a very, very close game, and I honestly thought South Florida was going to give themselves a shot.
Number two for Alabama, the freshman.
Uh-huh.
He's only 17, I think.
Right.
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams. Stud.
Newsflash, Gabe. The kid can play.
Yeah, and
he's pretty good.
It was kind of funny. There's a bunch of five-star wide receivers this year. Cam Coleman at Auburn. Jeremiah Smith, who's really good at Ohio State, and I got to give him credit for that.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams was another five-star, but it felt like everybody was kind of leaning away from him and saying, they're going to have to rely on him too much. It sounds like it's okay to rely on him so far.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good. And it was a fun, special night. They had the dedication officially of Saban Field, so it's Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
That was really cool.
Coach and Miss Terry were there. They had some activities earlier in the afternoon. They recognized them pregame with the Knicks kids and the foundation. Then also, again, then at halftime was another official dedication. Lit up the sign in the stadium. It was really cool. And the way they introduced Coach Saban at halftime – him coming down the tunnel with the same theme music that the team used to come out in the intro. So that was for Alabama people.
The home crowd lose their mind.
Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. Yep. And Jimmy Sexton, his agent, our good friend from here in Memphis, saw him down on the field before the game, and he was a part of the entourage with Coach and Mrs. Saban. So fun afternoon, fun night in Tuscaloosa. But again, a couple of things. Again, Alabama had to work for it. Going back from a Tiger perspective, going to have to play South Florida.
Yeah.
South Florida, again, Tiger fans, circle that one.
Pay attention.
They're pretty good.
It'll be on the road as well. And I will say Nick Saban standing there in the corner of the end zone the whole game. He didn't look impressed for most of that game.
He was looking like a guy looking to find a headset to throw.
Right. Yes. You know? Yeah. Or maybe he wanted to put one on to get everybody right. I mean, he probably wanted to get the team up and say, guys, what the hell are we doing?
Wow.
It's basically the same players, too. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He would know how to coach them still. I still would trust him to throw that headset on and maybe throw it off if everything went bad.
Because it gave so many penalties.
Yep.
And that's where it started with him as far as his, you know, back in the day, which was only a year ago, you know, just mental mistakes, things like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was a fun night. Great to be in and around that game and all of those ceremonies on Saturday.
Now, I will term it this way. We've had some surprises. Like Florida State, not good. We'll talk about the Tigers playing them coming up this weekend. You know, we've had some upsets, or at least something, you know, some close games we didn't expect to be close. I think this is the first real just like no one even came close to having this on their board. No one had any indication this was going to happen. But Notre Dame at home, 28-point favorites against Northern Illinois, the old Huskies. They've had some success in the past under Dave Dorn. It's been a little leaner under Thomas Hammack at this point. But Northern Illinois goes into Notre Dame a week after they beat Texas A&M and beats them 16-14. That was, I mean, impressive as hell. Like I can't put it any other way. Northern Illinois' defense stood up. Riley Leonard, who we expected to be one of the best transfer quarterbacks in the country, was miserable. Couldn't do anything against
that
team.
Not so much this game. What, two picks?
Two picks, 163 yards.
Sacked a couple of times. They were a 28-point favorite. And again, is it a carryover, whatever you want to call it, from the A&M game and then looking past these guys? Kind of looks like that. But. Don't want to take anything away from Northern Illinois. Man, oh, man. You know,
it wasn't a trap. It's a MAC team. It shouldn't be a trap game.
You know, Northern Illinois was up at the half and you know, hung on to win two? Again, kudos to them, Northern Illinois. Went in there and did it. And it just goes to show you, in this new world, week in, week out, call it a surprise, call it an upset, because it is.
Yeah.
But everybody's got players now.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the MAC level, they've got players. And if you don't come ready to play, focused and ready to go, voila. Things like this are going to happen.
I'm telling you, best player on the field, though, Antario Brown, the running back for Northern Illinois. 20 carries, 99 yards, and then get this, two catches, 126 yards and a TD.
That's
a heck of a night to – when he gets done with football, he can always look back and say, I had the night of my life at Notre Dame in South Bend.
And from a Notre Dame perspective, you got to think their playoff chances – that's a gut punch for them.
Yeah,
no
and they're a team that cannot get a first round bye, so they can't.
Yeah.
They can probably afford. I mean, at the most, I mean their schedule isn't great. They don't have a bunch of top 25 matchups to really make up ground, but they can afford at the most two losses at the most, and that'll get them an 11 seed or something like that. It'll be a low seed.
In the mind of the committee, you know. Is this one win or does it count as two? Does it count as one loss or two losses?
Yeah, right.
Because of who the opponent was.
We'll see how it plays out. Did you think they overdid it, too? I saw the AP poll. Memphis came in at 25 on the coaches' poll. But they threw Northern Illinois immediately into the top 25.
Yeah.
They hadn't had votes all year. No one expected them to be here. And I give them a lot of credit for doing what they did this week.
Absolutely.
You can't take it away from them. It felt like a little bit of an overcorrection, though, to throw them into the AP poll immediately.
A little bit of an overreaction, I'd say.
Yeah.
We'll see if they're still there next week.
Yeah, they have Buffalo. Interconference, Mid-American Conference matchup. We'll see how that goes for them. But I want to see how they pace the rest of the year. We did have our top 10 matchup this week. That was going to be Michigan at home versus Texas. I saw it going this way, to be honest with you. Michigan just doesn't have it this year. National championship to lean on. And I wonder if there's just, it's a lean year. Maybe they'll accept it a little bit better with what happened a year ago.
Yeah, Gabe, but, we've talked about Michigan in earlier segments. This is not last year's Michigan team by any stretch of the imagination. We all knew that going into the year. Obviously, turnover in the staff, turnover in the roster. But didn't see this one coming like this, to get thumped like that at home. But Texas, again, they're showing they're as good as anybody. Legit national championship potential team here. Ewers, another really good game, almost 250 yards throwing, three touchdowns. But it was over at the half. It was 24-3 at the half. Nobody saw that coming.
Maybe
a Texas win, but not a whooping like this.
I thought Texas would cover at the very least, maybe a 14-point win. But to just handle business this easily kind of threw me off. But Michigan, you're starting a former walk-on at quarterback. You have a running back who is supposed to be sort of this maybe Heisman candidate if everything goes right. And through two games, Donovan Edwards, 19 carries, 68 yards, doesn't have a touchdown on the board yet. It's just this Michigan team, I don't know if they'll be in the top 25 by the end of the year. I'm very curious about how this ultimately ends up. I know Texas is great, and I don't want to overreact ridiculously to a 19-point loss, but this Michigan team is just not close to where they were a year ago on offense.
And the Michigan faithful, keep them away from the edge.
It may
get bumpier as the year goes along.
In fact, I would almost bet on it with an NOA coming down here relatively soon, or at least the punishments from all the NCAA nonsense. My gosh, wild stuff. Now, another team. So Texas was dominant out of the SEC, first year in the SEC. Now we have a team that's been in the SEC for a while that was dominant over a top 25 matchup. NC State. I know they struggled week one against Western Carolina, but the Duke's Mayo Classic was this weekend. Yeah. And in Charlotte, Tennessee, 51-10 over the number 24 team in the country.
I think most folks, myself included, thought that that would be a more competitive game. But Tennessee shows exactly what we would expect from them offensively, but obviously holding them to just 10 points, they're doing it on the other side of the ball, or they did Saturday.
Yep.
A 41-point win. Wow. And Nico continues to impress. Nearly 300 yards throwing, three touchdowns. Dylan Sampson.
He's been the real story for that team.
He's been great. This one, 132 yards, couple of touchdowns. Tennessee outgained NC State. Did you see these numbers?
I didn't get to see the final tally.
460 to 143.
That'll do.
460.
That wins you ball games, I think, usually.
You can win a lot of games when you're rolling up numbers like that. So, again, kudos to Tennessee. They went in there, did what they had to do. Impressive, impressive win. And they're going to just keep going. They're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, I would imagine
I don't see
so.
Them slowing down.
I mean, the questions about two teams in conference in the SEC, it's usually Ole Miss and Tennessee. How's their defense going to pace themselves? And Tennessee especially, because they've never quite caught that defense up as much as you've wanted them to. We've seen a little bit from Ole Miss, even under Lane Kiffin. But this defense looks like it's right there. And you got guys on that side of the ball. I mean, Keenan Peely at linebacker. Love James Pierce. He should be, a top five, top ten pick in the NFL draft coming up. They actually have the SEC bodies to go with the offense that they normally have.
They do. And Tennessee this week, it's Kent State. Kent State this week. That's a W. Then they go to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's better than we thought they were going to be. And so we'll see what Tennessee does on the road in that environment in Norman. But that one, even though it's 2 weeks down the road. Boy, I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Yeah, but I will say, I know it's weird that I'm going to say it when I know you have Alabama and Georgia on your schedule if you're Tennessee. I get that's really, really tough. But the rest of it, after Oklahoma, it's Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, who looked miserably awful. Bad
yeah.
against South Carolina.
Yeah.
I think it was the final was 31-6. Mississippi State, UTEP, Vandy. Outside of like,
yeah,
I don't know. If you get through that Oklahoma game and potentially go win that, you could be looking at a 10-win season.
Yeah,
you could.
Very well could.
Yeah.
And reasonably
and that,
so.
And we'll see what that looks like, what that translates to by the time we actually get to committee time and bowl
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as the league championship, remember, no division, so it's still going to be the top two teams playing in the SEC championship game. So it's going to be an all-out Donnybrook to finish in one of those top two spots to get to Atlanta for the championship game.
Yep, yep. Now, we've talked about one of your one of the bowl tie-ins over at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. That's the SEC. Now we need to talk about some how about Big 12? Big 12, what are we thinking right now? Iowa State got the big win against Iowa. I watched that thing, and usually I'm used to Iowa pulling it out. Colorado, no dice. I sort of expected it to go that way, but 28-0 at half, not great. And then we'll talk about this as well. Shedeur Sanders leaving early and then seemingly throwing his team under the bus. I think toward the end of his press conference, saying his O-line wasn't good, and he talked about his pick six, which was miserable. I watched that one live, and he started to deflect from that. Kansas ends up getting knocked off. I want to start with the big picture of the Big 12, and I knew it was going to be a very competitive season because they're just, I don't know if they have like the top end talent. I think you could look at Utah. But it was always going to be a battle to see who actually wins that conference this year. And there's a lot of teams that were listed. Who do you think ultimately wins that conference?
I still think it's Utah's championship to win. They were picked to win the league. I think Oklahoma State can still be in that mix. So after 2 weeks, they've got nine teams that are undefeated, 2-0. Utah, one of those, after they beat Baylor this week, 23-12. Oklahoma State figured out a way to rally, beat Arkansas.
Good game, though.
A tough one, bitter pill for the Razorbacks to swallow, but a double overtime win for Okie State. Going back to the games you mentioned before, Iowa State, they were down 13-0 at the half, came back to win by a point, 20-19 over Iowa. Obviously, huge intrastate game there. Good win for Matt Campbell and his team. Colorado. I said this last week. I thought that game was, of the two coaches, I thought Matt Rhule needed that win more than Deion did.
Sure.
They jumped to a 14-0 lead and just hammered them.
Yeah.
Just hammered them. So, despite what Colorado is, the brand name is still there. And I say that to say, still a good win, a quality win, and a needed win for Nebraska and Matt Rhule and his program.
Yep.
Kansas, wow. They lose to Illinois. Illinois is now undefeated. Kansas 1-1. Illinois, which I think is a middle of the road team, got it done in the fourth quarter. I think the game may have been tied going into the fourth, or it was close, but. Illinois got a touchdown on the field goal.
It was 17-13, Kansas.
And then they put it away. They win 23-17. And Kansas sitting there now 1-1, trying to figure, okay, where are we headed going into week three? So to sum all that from looking at the bigger picture in the Big 12, again, I think it's Utah's league to win. I think they're still the quality of the league. We'll see how it plays out. At the other end of that spectrum, Houston.
Oof. Oof.
They're one of the American teams that made that jump to the Big 12 last year. They struggled last season, and that has continued under Willie Fritz, the new head coach. They are now 0-2. They lose to Oklahoma. It was close, 16-12. But again, Houston, Willie Fritz trying to figure it out there and Rocket City.
And I'm going to bounce this idea off you, because I think with the win over USC a couple of years ago at Tulane, and then last year, what was it, 10 or 11 wins, like you lose sight of Willie Fritz and how long it really took him to build it at Tulane. They stood by him through some pretty lean years, and I would term this Houston thing as a pseudo-rebuild. I mean, I thought Donovan Smith, their quarterback, was going to be a little better than he has been through two games. But still, you have to pick up all the pieces around the quarterback regardless. I want to remind people, Willie Fritz had a couple of losing seasons at Tulane trying to build that thing up to what it was. And it's not overly surprising to see the tough start to the season, I guess, at Houston. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
You know, I would say, comparing those two situations, Houston should be better than Tulane from an overall program standpoint. Support, everything,
sure.
Where you are, all that stuff.
100%.
But, you know, by the end of his reign in Tulane, you know, Willie Fritz had it rolling.
Yep.
Which is why he got the Houston job. I continue to, and of course, I know there's the turnover from last year to this year in Houston. But I'm still surprised that Houston continues to struggle. But the Cougars have the opportunity to redeem themselves, get the train headed down the good track this week. They're home against Rice. And you don't lose to Rice if you're Houston. And I say that as the son of a Houston grad and proud alum, and growing up following that Houston team,
the old in-city rival.
So yeah, inner-city rival. The campuses are not far apart.
Yeah.
So for Houston, that has been struggling, here's a chance to get victory number one of the year. We'll see how all that plays out.
Rice 1-1, and I'm surprised that I this is one I did miss in week one. Admittedly, lost to Sam Houston State. First year in the FBS.
The Bearcats.
With a K. It's the Bearcats with a... It's not
right.
It's not B-E-A-R-C. It's B-E-A-R-K-A-T-S.
Yes.
Strange. But they ended up losing to them week one. I didn't really... 34-14? Is that one... That's one that was off my radar. I can say that to be sure. Now, last thing.
Yeah.
We have the Tigers. Look good this week. I mean, it's a game against Troy, and I think most of the teams they'll be playing in conference are going to look very similar to that Troy team, right? From a talent perspective and everything else. Yeah, I think Tulane ought to be better, and UTSA ought to be better, and obviously USF should be better. But I think you got a really good look at what a lot of these other matchups will look like. But they ran the ball. That's the important thing.
Yes. Totally agree with that. And if you, as you know this, being an O-lineman, if you can run the ball, you can win a lot of games.
Yep.
Because that opens up a lot of things in your passing game. You know that Seth, week in, week out, is going to be a steady hand, probably isn't going to lose a game for you, making dumb mistakes. I mean, he's that senior leader guy. But to have that run game going after the devastating news from week one,
yes,
when you lost Sutton Smith, and then you say, okay, who stepped up? Well, this week it was Mario Anderson. Pretty good game, 125 yards, couple of touchdowns. Good performance from that Memphis offense, from the running game. Defensively, Jordan Hankins' group continues to do stellar things. They're impressive. And that's a good combination. If you got the running game going, you got a steady quarterback, you got the defense doing what they do, you can win a lot of games. And they're playing now with confidence, and you need that going into the challenge. And I do want to stress challenge of what you got on the road this coming Saturday in Tallahassee.
Yeah, the early returns on Elijah Herring coming over from Tennessee. How about him?
Ooh.
He was, I think, American Athletic Conference Defensive Player of the Week.
Should be, man. What a stat line he had.
Yeah.
8 solos, 2 tackles for loss, a sack, forced a fumble, recovered a fumble, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Pretty good stat line.
All over the dang place. That's one thing about this team that I don't have to worry about, though. Their linebacking core is kind of, it's scary good.
Is
really
those three guys.
Dang good. It's Matt Hudson, Chandler Martin, Elijah Herring.
Yep.
That should win you some ball games on it, even on face value.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So a lot of positive things going for the Tigers heading into the quote-unquote game of the year.
Now, what do you think of the game of the year?
You know,
FSU's had an extra week to prepare.
And Mike is as good as they are. We're talking about Mike Norvell. He's as good as they come, especially when you give him an extra week. Still, is that enough to fix the problems that Florida State has had? I would like to think that this could be a toss-up game. I think it could be a wire game, goes late into the fourth quarter, and we'll see what happens. I think the Tigers have a legit opportunity to go in there and get one on the road. I really do.
I do, but it's not the free shot. We talked about that last week. But, okay, let's talk bad cases here. Let's say Tigers go on the road against Florida State and lose. What do you think that does to the overall picture of Memphis football heading forward? I don't think they're necessarily going to get, like, docked unbelievably for it, but it certainly doesn't help you like you thought it would help you.
No, I agree with that, Gabe, because obviously in the preseason we were thinking, hey, if the Tigers lose, it's going to be to a top 10 team.
Sure.
A team that's going to be in the hunt for the playoffs, one of the elite programs of the country. Now, if you lose, it's not the same scenario, and they don't have the same resume you expected them to have coming into this game. But by golly, you know, it's still Florida State.
Yes.
And Doak Campbell, and going on the road, and it's an early game, and if the Tigers can figure out a way to win, that is still a pretty strong medicine to have that W on your resume.
And I got to be honest, I expect, and I don't know what their best foot forward actually looks like this year, Florida State. Like, putting their best foot forward, it's DJU still, and they don't have as much talent as they had a year ago. But I think you're catching them in such a strange spot. They're 0-2 in the ACC, 0-2 in conference, going into week two, right? I mean, it's just like, or week three, I should say.
Yeah.
But I find it strange because you're going to get their best shot. Whatever their best shot looks like, backs against the wall, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. You're going to get the best version of Florida State, in my opinion.
And I'm sure Mike's using the fact that the Tigers are ranked. I'm sure he's using that with his team. Hey.
Top 25 in the coaches poll.
Hey, these guys are the ranked team. We're not. And all of that
that's something
gamesmanship involved in that.
I wouldn't have guessed that was going to be the case by the time we got to this game. Good Lord.
No one saw that either.
Thank you for putting that into perspective for me, Harold. I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to be down there for the game, sitting up in the stands, looking forward to it. Again, just for my alma mater, with an opportunity to go into go on the road, play a fabled program, a brand name, national championship.
Correct.
All of that, to have a chance to go in there and one, compete, and now a legitimate shot to go win, that's awesome.
If they run the ball like they did this week.
Yeah.
Hey, anything's possible.
You know, and as we have seen in those two previous Florida State games, teams have been just plowing them.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to think that the Tigers can't do the same thing.
And here's the thing about the Georgia.
It's your guys. It's up those old linemen.
It's up the old linemen.
Your guys, you better be talking to them this week, Gabe.
Yeah, I'll get them right. But the Georgia Tech and the Boston College offensive game plan, neither of them were complicated. I wonder, and we talked about this last week as well, I wonder how much the University of Memphis can go watch that film and apply what both those teams did to the game plan they're going to put out there.
Well, when you're coming off a game, when your team ran the ball so well, as did the Tigers this past week, it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of deal.
I guess so.
Hey, we showed that we can run, and we can run the ball with confidence. Our O-line's playing.
Copy-paste. Let's
there
do it again.
There you go. It's one of those, you know, you keep giving the guy the ball until he stopped. Well, same thing here. And until Florida State can show that they can stop the run, keep doing it.
Yeah, and
because it shortens the game. All of those pieces of the strategy.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to the ball game.
Yeah, and speaking of copy and pasting game plans, we can copy and paste this same game plan going to next Monday. We'll talk next Monday. How about that, Harold?
Indeed, I'm all for it, Gabe.
Appreciate it. He is Harold Grader at Harold Grader on X, Associate Executive Director of the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Now it's time to transition from college football to the NFL. We have Dak Prescott signing a major extension with the Dallas Cowboys. And then sticking to the NFC East, we're going to talk about Daniel Jones. The New York Giants lost badly, 28-6 yesterday to the Sam Darnold-led Vikings. Is it time for the Giants to explore new options? We'll answer that question next. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories.
Overloading the line.
A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, what you got for me?
Dak Prescott signs extension with the Cowboys for 4 years, $240 million, $231 million guaranteed.
The Joneses are funny. The Cowboys are hilarious. And listen, I'm happy they got it out of the way. It makes a lot of sense for them. Mm-hmm. They need to have a quarterback going forward, but you have to do it on the first day, the first week, right there on that Sunday morning. You just have to have the drama. There has to be some type of, like, the timing to me is absolutely impeccable. And, you know, there's some people that will still stand by the fact that Dak Prescott has no business being the highest paid per year quarterback in the NFL. But again, it's supply and demand. There's not a lot of quarterbacks that can get you to the playoffs consistently. And when you have one, you need to keep that person. And Dak Prescott understands what's expected of him in that Cowboy, for that Cowboys franchise. He's a front-facing franchise quarterback, and it makes a whole lot of sense. I will say, too, if you just watched week one, quarterback play, Connor, we talked about it off air, and I want to bring this on air. Not the greatest in the world. We only had 200-300-yard passers.
Not good.
And that was Tua Tagovailoa and Matt Stafford. You just don't have the best quarterback play in the world right now. So if you have one, lock him up. Give him the money he needs.
Especially when you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, when you can afford the amount of money that they're giving Dak Prescott, you do it. Because I think I may be higher on Dak than other people, but I consider him a top 10 quarterback who can get it done. He can win you football games. Yes, he has struggled in the playoffs, but to be quite honest, a lot of the quarterbacks in the NFL right now have struggled in the playoffs. There's not many with playoff success.
You want a Super Bowl winning quarterback. There are five of those, and two of them are Joe Flacco and Russell Wilson. Okay, so like in the end of the day.
And Aaron Rodgers.
Yes,
like, let's be honest.
Yeah, who's 40 years old.
That's what I mean. Young winning quarterbacks.
Yes, and then speaking of the young quarterbacks, the rookies were bad. They were terrible. Jane Daniels was no good. Caleb Williams threw for 93 freaking yards
that game
in his first game.
I still cannot believe the Titans lost that
football. Will Levis.
I cannot believe it. It's one of the worst performances I have ever seen from a quarterback. Straight up.
It's just, you know,
they didn't score an offensive point, and they won the game.
The pick by Will Levis was just...
Which one?
The pick six, that's the one we're talking about.
I know.
I could not even remotely believe he made that mistake. That was as bad as it gets, and he falls down to his knees.
Meme is born.
Yes, exactly. Just terrible. But yeah, quarterback play is not, you know, in a great spot right now in the NFL. And when you have a guy like Dak Prescott who can puts himself in a Pro Bowl, puts you in the playoffs every year, gives you a chance, you have to go ahead and pay him the money. I will say the guaranteed money is kind of wild. 231 to the 240. That's pretty good, you know, agency work behind the scenes by the representatives for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I do think that the funniest thing about this entire situation is the Cowboys waited, and ended up paying both of the guys just a crazy amount of money, and they bet and they spent against themselves. If they had done this months ago, it wouldn't have been as much money, which I guess for the Cowboys doesn't really matter because they're the Cowboys. But like you said, it's just a bit dramatic to do it the Sunday morning of week one. I will say, though, if it hadn't have been done after the football that we watched yesterday, people would be like, oh, you have to pay him. Did y'all watch the rest of these games?
Yes, but Dak and CD are all taken care of.
Micah.
And Trayvon Diggs taken care of. Now Micah's next on the list. You know, as much as I think they waited too long, kicked the can down the road, at least they came to the right decisions.
Right.
Which is ultimately all you can ask for based on the way this offseason had gone for the Cowboys, where they just didn't do anything.
Well, and again, we thought the Cowboys were going to be a really good football team this year, and it appears that they are going to be. We were just annoyed by, why aren't you paying the best guys that you have? It just made the most sense in the world. Pay these guys. It's the best teams that you have had in 20-plus years. You have to pay them to try to compete.
Yep.
I still have some question marks about them, but as we saw yesterday, they're still really good. They're still a very good football team. Got to figure out the running back position.
No,
but
we do need to stick in the NFC East and talk about another quarterback, so let's go ahead and get
to that. Do we have to?
Yeah, I think we do.
The New York Giants lost to Sam Darnold and the Vikings 28-6. Daniel Jones with another Daniel Jones performance, 22 of 42, 186 yards, two interceptions. Regardless, when asked about who will start at quarterback going forward, head coach Brian Daboll said that Jones is still their guy.
Why? Why?
Draft pick.
I believe WFAN in New York, is that an Odyssey station? Are they under the same?
I think they are.
Hearing the responses from all of the guys on that radio station is hilarious. They're like, I can't do it anymore. Watching him play quarterback is painful, and I have to agree, it's painful. Every Sunday, you see them trot this guy out, and he's getting worse and worse. It's been 6 years.
Hey, like, it's been six years?
Yes. And they keep standing by this guy. And I know they paid him, but damn, man, there just comes a point where you have to just cut your losses and say, we need something better. And honestly, it feels like anything is better. I think the two guys behind him on the roster are better, Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito. And here's the stat. Here's the stat that gets me. So since he signed his four-year, $160 million contract, yeah, he's had some injuries. But here are his stats since the extension. 7 games played, 2 pass TDs to 8 interceptions, 3 pick sixes, only 154 pass yards per game, 3.84 air yards per game, a 65.1 passer rating, a rush TD, and a fumble loss. Did you hear my second and third stat there? Two pass TDs, 3 pick sixes. He has thrown more touchdown passes to the other team since he got his extension than his own team. It is painful at this point. Just stop the nonsense. I know he's got the money. I know he makes $35 million per year. Just move on with your lives. Try to get a high pick. Maybe you think that he's going to get you a high pick because he thinks that bad. And honestly, I may agree with you. But I know that Giants fans are just tired of seeing the guy on the field. And at some point, you're going to have to just take him off the field and move on.
Opposing teams should have to pay his contract with those types of stats.
Oh,
like, they're helping. They're helping them. Like, whenever you're playing the Giants, you should have to pay the Daniel Jones fee because he's going to throw you at least a touchdown during the game or give you an opportunity to score.
But I just... For Giants fans and for people that cover the Giants, I can't imagine week in, week out, seeing that number 8 run onto the field, knowing that he's going to be just awful and he's going to inhibit your chances to win games. That's got to be the most painful quarterback situation in the NFL right now, right? Like, I don't think that, like, there are bad ones. Don't get it twisted. And there's guys, you know, Will Levis does not look great with the Titans. You have some young rookies that you're going to have to see grow up in front of your eyes. I don't even think the guy they played, Sam Darnold at quarterback right now for the Vikings. That's not very fun for the Vikings fans.
He looked okay.
That is the worst, in my opinion, quarterback situation that is going right now in the National Football League, and they continue to just say, well, we're standing by him. He's going to be our quarterback this week.
Should they have taken a quarterback in this draft?
I mean,
they had a chance to.
They had a chance to. It would have been what, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, or Bo Nix, somebody like that. I think any of those guys probably better than Daniel Jones, but I don't know.
Is there a quarterback in this year's draft that you think?
Carson Beck.
Is a good fit.
Carson Beck.
You think so?
Carson Beck, but you're going to have to probably be number one overall to go get him. Or you're going to have to trade up to go get him. And I don't even know what that would look like.
Is Carson Beck, so I've watched the Georgia games.
Sure.
Is it just that he takes care of the, he's so efficient. He's kind of like a robot quarterback.
But the other part.
But nothing like stands out
nothing,
to me.
But
he is so efficient and he takes care of the football.
What you never see from him, or what you rarely have to see from him, is those layered throws where he's throwing a corner route where the safety's over top and the corner's hanging down low. But he can do that. And he's actually okay with his feet, like he's not a complete statue.
He moves well.
He can move pretty well.
He makes
well.
Good decisions, though.
I do get concerned, even with a guy like Carson Beck, if you go draft that guy, you don't really, your O-line's no good. The team still needs to improve. How good will he be even in a Giants uniform if they ultimately get their hands
right? I just don't know if he has talent that jumps off the page. But I get why he's such a highly touted quarterback. But when I watch the games, I'm just like, I don't know.
People, especially with college football, people want to see the just insane playmaking downfield. You don't see a lot of that with Carson Beck because he just plays on schedule, takes exactly what the defense gives him. But I will give him credit. You know, compared to Daniel Jones, I mean, we're talking about a college quarterback versus a guy who's 6 years into the NFL. He's a vet at this point. At least I see Carson Beck get through a couple of reads before he lets go of the ball. Like, Daniel Jones, it's amazing to me.
That's true.
Coming out of Duke, like, he was a guy who could get through his progressions for the most part, didn't just stare down receivers. Now he's just staring down his first receiver and throwing it no matter what, and that leads
to... And missing him.
Yeah, missing him or throwing it to the other team. It's sad to watch. It's rare to see a quarterback get this much worse year by year by year as he gets into the NFL. And he's still... The year of Saquon Barkley being one of the leaders in all-purpose yards got him paid. And now Saquon's with the Eagles. I mean, this is a disaster, an absolute disaster.
I can't believe that team decided to do Hard Knocks. Just seems like a horrific decision.
Yeah.
Now, this is a great decision.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar will be headlining the Super Bowl halftime show.
In New Orleans, I found that a little interesting, but he is at the, I mean, he is the peak of hip-hop and rap right now. And the celebrity he made for himself even more so than he has been in the past with the Drake beef, it's phenomenal. I think there's some people out there, and I want to ask you about this. Lil Wayne, New Orleans legend, one of the best rappers ever, and they decided to go with a guy from California, from the West Coast.
Lil Wayne, I think, would have been really good. Kendrick is must-watch.
He's much more of a performer. He's younger. He's in better health.
I think it's the performance thing.
And the other part of it, Lil Wayne, I don't know if you've been sort of following him.
Like, his health isn't great.
His health has not been good.
Yeah.
It's not like he can move around as much as he used to when he was younger.
Kendrick makes sense.
Yes, Kendrick makes sense to me. Has anybody checked on Drake lately? This is getting bad. This has gotten worse and worse and worse. We haven't even had any beef songs come out in the past few months, and it just continues to spiral out of control. Not Like Us is still topping the charts. Not Like Us, by the way, calls Drake a pedophile in the song, and that's going to be probably one of the main songs.
How many people watch the Super Bowl?
That's going to be one of the main songs that Kendrick Lamar is putting out there in front of 170 million people watching the Super Bowl.
I see dead people.
It's going to be really bad for Drake in front of all of those people. Getting called a pedophile.
We're going to tell our grandkids about the Drake-Kendrick beef. And we're just going to be like, y'all, Kendrick buried Drake. And then
it's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
He just kept digging up his body and burying him again.
Well, the worst part for Drake is everyone, all these entities, they want it to happen. They continually hire him to do things and put him out front. The NFL didn't have to do this. The NFL's just like, well, he's a hell of a celebrity, hell of a star. We liked what he did in the Drake beef, so let's bring him in. He's the topic of conversation. It's not like, Kendrick made the songs to bury Drake, but everybody else is helping bury Drake as well by hiring Kendrick Lamar to do these types of things. For him to be Super Bowl halftime and going after Drake, in all likelihood, it's going to be insane. I don't know where Drake is, but I know yesterday was not a good news
day
for
him. Can you imagine getting that notification? His, like, Drake partying, having fun, and getting that notification. He just probably immediately started listening to Marvin's Room.
Oh, yeah. 200 million people are going to hear this guy call me a pedophile at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Not fun.
Not fun for anybody.
Things in a watch?
For Drake. Yeah.
Imagine being at the Drake Super Bowl party. Because you know what? He's probably going to be...
Is he
going
to cancel it because Kendrick Lamar's a halftime? Or is he going to turn... He's going to turn the channel for all
he's
of
He's going to be somewhere. Watching that game, and there's going to be a moment with whomever is going to be with him. They have to make a decision.
Just with a look on his face,
are we
going to
watch this, or are we going to turn it off? And I would pay to be a fly on the wall in that room.
I would too. I absolutely would too. But that'll do it for the Blitz. We have one more segment left in the day. We'll go ahead and rewind when we return on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.